Hallelujah. Good to see everybody tonight. If you weren't here last week, I encourage you to get the CD and the outline. We taught about what faith is and what faith is not. I'm doing a four-part series on fundamentals to activate faith. And the reason why we're going back to our fundamentals is because, remember, even the MVPs of, you know, a sports like baseball or football, every spring, they have to go back and do their basics. And when they do, they become better and better and better. So we're growing from one area to the next area, line upon line, precept upon precept. And wherever you are in your faith, by the end of this series, you will be much stronger. Amen?
Amen.
And so, in summary, the overview is this teaching will help you to understand what's the difference between what faith is, what faith is not. Instead of assuming that you're operating in faith, you'll learn how to confidently activate true biblical faith. And we learned that last week, right? And we know that Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We know that faith is not foolish. We know that faith does not think that something is going to happen and calling those things that are as if they did not exist. Someone had a broken foot. They can't say, my foot is not broken. My foot is not broken. My foot is not broken, right? They're going to have to acknowledge there's something there and that needs to be fixed, right? But they could say, my foot has been healed by the stripes of Jesus, right? Now, faith also is not hope, and hope is different because there's faith, hope, and love. There's three of those, right? We know that if you use faith and you don't doubt and don't have unbelief and you're not using future tense but using past or present tense, it's good, because if you always say, I will be healed, I will be healed, you'll never be healed because you'll never catch up to the future. Yeah. But Jesus died on the cross back when? And he paid for your sins then? So the scripture says in 1 Peter 2:24, you have already been healed, right? And the devil can't take from you what you already got. Amen. Amen? So you have to see yourself as healed and waiting for the manifestation of that healing, but you already have it. It's already yours in the spirit realm. It's already been given to you by God. Amen? Amen. So we don't doubt with our heart. Mark 11:23. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast in the sea, and not doubt in his heart or her heart, but shall believe that those things that you say shall come to pass, and whatever you say, you shall what? Have them. Now remember also, faith is not assumption, it's not presumption, it's not assuming that something is when it's not, and it's not taking someone off of insulin if they're under a doctor's care, or if their sugar level's high. And say, well, I'm just not going to use it anymore. Okay, that's assuming. And when someone's saying, you know, my pancreas has been healed by the stripes of Jesus, and affirming that, and pretty soon the doctors will say, you know what, I'm going to cut your insulin in half. Do you see? You're using faith correctly. Jesus said that in Mark 6:6, he marveled because of their unbelief. So then he started going around to the villages teaching. What do you think he was teaching on? Oh my gosh, they're going to teach faith again? And so remember the scenario there. Kenneth Hagin says, I'm going to keep teaching faith and taking you up this faith mountain so you can remove it, a different perspective every time until you get it, until there's no challenges in your body, until every single manifestation of healing is there, until your bank account is so overflowing, you're looking for people to bless. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we're going to be forever students of Jesus, right? And I encourage you, bring people that need to hear this. Bring your family, your friends. Pastor Josh was talking about faith like a rocket. Woo, we're taking off more. I'm telling you, it's going to be really good, because in these end times, we need to be prepared. And this church is preparing people. Amen?
Amen?
And so faith is also not mental assent. And then remember, the Lord told me to tell you, to remind you, Matthew 17:20, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, or verily I say unto you, that if you have faith as a mustard seed, how big is that mustard seed? Remember, here it is. That little tiny seed, right? Did you guys do your homework this week? Put your mustard seed faith to remind yourself where you started, because that's not where you're at now. Your faith is bigger than that little mustard seed, but what can a mustard seed faith size do? You shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Nothing. New King James Version says, move mountain from here to there. Move sickness out of my body. I'm sending it back to the sender. Return to sender. Amen. Right? Amen. So you say to the devil, stick your finger in his face. See this faith. Remove yonder yourself. Ooh, get out. Right? Now look at all the things that God has done in your life. Your faith has brought it to you. Look at all the challenges you're facing. Of whom shall you be afraid? Nobody. Because you have enough faith to do the job. But let's grow ourselves. Because remember, the mustard seed turns into a huge two-story tree in the Mideast, not a little bush out here in the U.S. And where are we on the faith scale? Because I want to get bigger. Because the more I grow in faith, the more I can achieve, and nothing will be impossible to any of us. Amen?
Amen.
So that was your summary. Okay, so now we are going to start with why the eyes of faith are necessary today. A, what are the eyes of faith? In the King James Version, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, walk by faith and not by sight. The Complete Jewish Bible Version says, for we live by trust, trust is a synonym of faith, and not by what we see. The Greek for the word walk is peripateo in Strong's Concordance, G4043. It means to make one's way, to progress, to make due use of your opportunities. In other words, you have to walk in a trusting relationship with God, knowing that you're going to progress. No matter where you're at now, the future's going to be better if you keep walking in faith and growing in faith. Amen?
Amen.
And let's go to 2B. The Greek for by faith, walking by faith, is pistis, G4102, conviction of the truth of anything, including idea of trust and holy fervor, faithfulness, which is the character of one who can be relied on and who's the only one who we could really rely on. Our Heavenly Father and Jesus, right? And the Holy Spirit. C, Greek, for not by sight is eidos, G1491, the external or outward appearance, figure, shape, form, or kind. Do not let your eyes fool you. That's what it's saying. All right? B, why are the eyes of faith necessary? Trust God, don't trust what your eyes see. Number two, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them, which are sanctified by faith that is in me. That's Acts 26:18. So God has opened up our eyes. He's shown us that we should not be in darkness anymore. We now walk in light. Amen?
Amen?
That's why spiritual eyes are so important, or you wouldn't be sitting here today. The Holy Spirit opened your eyes and flooded it with light. And now we want him to give us more revelation. Amen?
Amen.
1 Peter 1:8 through 9, number 3 says in the New King James Version, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You love a God that is unseen. People might think that you are loco. They did back in the time of Jesus, back in the time of Abraham. You're talking to an unseen God. He must be And that's why they made gods with their hands, so they could worship something they saw. But how powerful is the god that you have to make? I don't get that one, right? So if you think about it, that you are following an unseen god, you are trusting in a Jesus that you never saw crucified. You are believing a book that other people wrote, and you're seeing results in your life. You have great faith. Why are you worried about the stuff you still need to overcome? Hello? You could do it. Keep on keeping on. Okay? So I'm here to tell you, there's nothing impossible that's facing you that you and God cannot overcome. And that's why we're teaching this series. Amen? Amen. You know, there was this lady, she lived, you know, there's still some backward places on earth where she wasn't used to city life and they didn't have TV, electricity, or anything like that, you know. So she comes to the modern city and she sees the store that says, here's some glasses and it'll help you see better. And she's like, oh, okay, I'm going to get those for my husband. And then she comes back the next week and she says, I want to return these glasses. And the man says, well, didn't it work? She says, well, my husband still doesn't see the way that I want to do things. So no, they don't work. I'm returning them. So seeing is not just with your eyesight. It's perception, right? And so don't trust your eyes. For instance, you know, when they had bubonic plague in Africa and John G. Lake, a missionary, he walked in faith and he knew that by the word of God that he has divine immunity, as we all do, because we walk in the anointing of God, which breaks every yoke of bondage, right? So all these people were dying and no one was there to bury them because they were afraid to touch them. So he and his assistant decided to bury all the people. And then the doctors came from the United States and they came in the hazmat suits and the gloves and the things and the mask and the whatever, right? And then they see them just in their regular clothes, no gloves, touching the people and burying them and whatever. And they said, oh my gosh, you're going to die. He's like, no. The germs are going to die if they touch me. And they're like, what? He says, okay. So here's a dead man. I know this sounds really gross. There was spit, you know, on the dead man's mouth and he took it off and he put it on his hand and he goes, look at it under the microscope. Now, just because we don't see something doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And so when they invented the microscope, they could see bacteria. They could see things that seem invisible to the naked eye under the microscope. And they saw the germs swimming around and they were trying to attack his hand and they died in his hand. He's a regular man like you and me. But he knows, because he still exists, he's in heaven now, because that was years ago. He knows that the word of God is true. He knows that no matter what comes against me and you will not prevail. Faith like that is what we need in the end times. We shall not be afraid of bird flu, of, you know, all these kind of super bugs, of all these different diseases and contagions and whatever. I don't care. Because as soon as it comes within 5 feet of me or my body or possessions or my home, it's going to die. Amen?
Amen.
So don't trust your eyes. You know, we hear that there are other planets. Have you ever been there? No. But now they invented in modern times Hubble, this big, huge telescope, and we could see out there in space. And there's stars, and then there's galaxies. And we thought we were the center of the universe. And our planet is so small, it's like a little mustard seed on the back of an elephant. That's the way our little Earth is compared to those big, giant planets. But they still exist, even though we don't see it. The supernatural realm is real. It is there. Just because you can't see it with your natural eyes doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It coexists with us. Everything on this earth is paralleling what is in the spiritual realm. Jesus taught us about seed time and harvest. Why? Because in heaven, he's showing us how we get things. Because you plant the seed with your mouth. You must speak the word of God into being, and then it is germinated through the affirmations that your faith is growing it, because faith comes by how? Hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing, and then the harvest is manifested. Jesus told us to be fishers of men, just like you go get fish. He's paralleling so he could show us how the kingdom of God functions. We need to become more skilled in who we truly are in Christ, for you are a spirit being and you live inside of a body. You have a soul, you have a heart, you have a mind, you have a spirit. Your spirit is born again. But now we need to renew our mind with the washing of the water of the word so that we could become more like Jesus and we could become super conquerors like a John G. Lake. And I'm going to talk about that next Friday. So don't miss next week. You better come earlier. Someone might take your seat. Amen? Amen. Okay. So now how to use your eyes of faith with faith vision. Let's go to C, number one. For as many are as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, Romans 8:14. And daughters as well. But we're talking about like mankind. Number two, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth, according to John 16:12-13. It says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. We need the Holy Spirit to give us revelation. We need the Holy Spirit to be able to open the eyes of our understanding and the perception to see what's going to be happening. Some of you are in School of Dominion, and you may have gone through a module where you heard Pastor Matthew talking about an ABC-er who went to buy a mango and then loved that mango and asked the Holy Spirit, should she buy the mango? And the Holy Spirit said, no, put it back. Listen, that person's Jamaican, and that was the hardest thing to take that mango out that cart. God, I'll put back the fiber. God, I'll put back the prune juice. Whatever. I want my mango. Well, now you know who it was. Anyway, that mango was juicy. It was ripe. It smelled so good. It was ready to eat. You know, like you say, do you want the fruit to eat today or tomorrow? Because tomorrow means it's green. You have to let it sit, you know. But when it's ready today, oh boy, that is so yummy. Well, I hear and obey, and okay, I'm going to put back that mango. So my husband's like, well, honey, we could go get some coconuts instead. Okay, let's get coconut juice. So get home, and it was on the news. There was a recall of mangoes because it has salmonella poisoning in it already infected, and it was the brand of that mango. The perception of faith is that you must see that God knows what's best for us, even that we don't see it. Faith is believing and trusting implicitly, no matter what, right? So that's where we're using our eyes of faith and hearing as well, because faith comes by hearing the word of God. And when we hear him speak, we have to see into the spirit realm greater than what we're seeing in the natural realm. Amen? There was an evangelist, and he went to the Philippines. They said that he went to this high village and up in the mountains, and they don't get very many people, and they were wanting to honor this evangelist, and they were very poor people. So they said, you know what? We don't have much meat here, and we're going to kill, he thought they were going to say the fatted calf to have a beefsteak dinner. They were going to kill a dog to feed him for a feast. I'm sorry, dog lovers, but that's what they did up there. I wouldn't do that. And he said, well, you know what? I think I'm going to start a fast right now. And so he was like, I like fruit, though. Can you bring some fruit? Okay. And so then he was getting hungrier and hungrier and hungry as they're all eating. And then he looked over at the dessert table way over there. And there was this beautiful cake that seemed like a lot of raisins on there. Oh, boy, it looked like one of those, you know, bread puddings with the raisins and whatever. And he's like, well, you know, on my fast, I think I can have some raisin cake over there. And he walks closer to the table, and what he thought were raisins flew away. And all these flies just like, whoo, and he's like, oh, Lord, have mercy. Maybe I can't eat that on my fast either. So don't trust your eyes, you know. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It may not be what you really want. You know, and there was this lady, and she was a cashier at this store, and people were coming by, and she had a really big belly. She looked like she was 9 months pregnant. And they would say, oh, when are you going to have your baby? She says, I'm not pregnant. And they said, oh, my. So the next week they went in and she had a T-shirt on. No, I am not pregnant. Neither am I. So anyway, you know, it doesn't matter what it looks like. Don't rely on your eyes. Doesn't matter what the devil's throwing at you. It's all a lie. What is truth is the word of God. Okay? And so number three under C, the Holy Spirit will teach you to understand the prophecies. A. Since we are living in the last days, these prophecies in the books of Daniel, Ezekiel, and Revelation are very important to study so that we can be aware of their forthcoming fulfillment. Just like we're hearing about the blood moons and the signs of the times, right? As long as we're ready, that's what counts. We have to walk in greater faith. So whenever we're faced with something, we will be able to have the impossible be done for us. Amen? And number four, God will use you to open the eyes of the unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 4:1 in the New King James Version says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. Circle that. Do not lose heart. God is saying to you, don't be discouraged. He's with you, that he's been equipping you. You're not giving up today. A good friend of mine says that every day. Amen? Not giving up today. And B, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts and give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Those are verses 4-6. And so see, many of the people we know and love, it's not that they don't want to love a God that loves them. They just can't see it because the devil's blinding their eyes. And so the more we come to church and learn and grow, the more that we overcome areas in our life, they will see us as a living epistle and as a testimony so that we will be able to shine the light to them and show them who Jesus Christ is. That's why it's important to have eyes of faith for ourselves and for others. Amen? So let's go to the back page. Letter D, when you learn to see into the spirit realm, you will see your eternal future. 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. Very interesting. The first part of verse 16 repeats, therefore do not lose heart. Circle that again. When God repeats something, he really wants to draw your attention to it. Be not discouraged. Be not dismayed. Who did he tell that too many times? Joshua, right? Why? Because they were facing giants, right? The generation before him for 40 years, they didn't think they could take that land. And we're going to see that in a minute. So What does God want us to do? Why does He want us to learn to see into the spiritual realm? He wants you to see your eternal future. Let's go to the rest of that in verse 18, right underneath it. While we do not look at or fix our eyes on the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? Temporary, means they can be removed. But the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. And number two, how can the Bible tell you to fix your eyes on what is not seen, even though you can't see the unseen with your physical eyes? Hello, that's kind of like weird, right? Look at the unseen. Just keep looking. And you're like, what? Right? All right, here's the answer. You are to see into the unseen or spiritual realm by fixing your eyes of faith with your mind, which will cause you to have the power to understand, discern, and perceive the unseen realm. In your mind, God gave you the power of thoughts. His words are turned into thoughts into your mind. That's why He wants us to renew our mind with the washing of what? Only the Word of God. He must put the Word of God into our mind so it will come out of our mouth. But when we hear the Word, it first goes to our heart. And that's where it takes root, so that then the thoughts of godly things that are good and lovely, of good report, that are true, that those things we meditate on, right? Then it'll come out of our mouth and move that mountain. It's very important. B, Greek for look at or fix your eyes. That Greek word is scopeo. The Strong's Concordance, G4648, means to observe, contemplate, fix one's eyes upon, direct one's attention to Jesus. When all hell breaks loose in your life, look to Jesus, because that's all a lie. And if you take the bait, then the flood of the enemy can come against that person. But if you stand strong and say, speak to my fingers, see the seed of faith that I started with, I'm bigger than this seed now. You better run, devil, because I'm here and Jesus is in me, and greater is He that's in me and you than he that's in the world. That is a mountain moving faith. Amen?
Amen.
And so you can't see the devil sometimes, but you can see the effects. Like if you wake up in the morning and, oh, pain in my back. Oh, devil, if you don't want me to kick you in the back, you have 10 counts to leave right now. See what I'm saying? I'm not taking that. Use your fingers. In the name of Jesus, get out of here, pain. See the mustard seed faith? That's where I started. And you are not going to get me. I'm talking to this mountain of sickness. Go. I'm talking to this mountain of debt. Go. I'm talking to this mountain of problems. Go in the name of Jesus. Right? Fix your eyes upon the truth, the Word of God. Now go to 2C. The Greek for the word seen, okay, is blepo, G991, to see with the mind's eye, to have the power of understanding, to discern mentally, to perceive and understand. Number three, what are you to fix your spiritual eyes of faith on? A, the answer is fix your eyes of faith on your eternal future. What is the Greek word for eternal? It's aionios, G166. Without beginning and end, will never cease. God has an eternal plan for you. And so He wants you to fulfill that destiny, because only you can do that which He wants you to do, because you're special to Him. He chose you before we chose Him. Amen?
Amen.
So He's equipping us, and He doesn't do a job halfway. He finishes it.
Yeah.
He completes it. Amen?
Amen?
Let's go to letter E. Biblical visualization sees your victory with the eyes of faith. Let's go to Psalm 20, verse 5. This is the Amplified. You will shout in triumph at your salvation and victory. And in the name of our God, you will set up your banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions or prayer requests. 2, biblical visualization changes your future to a better outcome. A, Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. What's another synonym for perish? They die. They're destroyed. They're distraught. B, and the Lord answered me in Habakkuk 2:2 and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth. That's why faith action plans are so important. You got to write down the vision of what God has put in your heart and you know that you need to attain, and the method by which you get that is the affirmations in the Word of God that you're speaking over your life so that you're changing the mountain and saying, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. You are changing your future by casting that mountain out by the Word of God because you believed that you received when you asked whatever you desire. Okay? You can't waver. Wavering, the devil sees it, and you have to remind yourself of the mustard seed where you started. Okay? No wavering, right? Hallelujah. And so let's go to 2C, Isaiah 6:1. I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Do you see how important God's talking about vision? Because when you don't have a vision, you can't see what he's doing in the spiritual realm. Then when you get the vision, write it down so you could run to attain it. You got to put your faith into action or it's not going to come to pass, okay? Then after you're putting your faith into action, what happens? You can see God. You can see what he's doing in your life. And then you are going to be able to continue following him because now you're following him without seeing. Greater faith are those that do and do not see. You're following God without seeing him. That is awesome. He is having an account on the book of life. Oh, they're following me. They're walking by faith, not by sight. He's so proud of each one of you. It's awesome. I wish I could read what he's writing on each one of you. Because the accomplishments that you have so far, he's very proud of you. Don't look at it as, oh, I still need to do that and this and the other. Remind yourself of where you've come from and where you are now. And you will be able to overcome anything else that's in front of you. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's go to number 3, Numbers 13, 1 through 2. We're going to go through the story again of the Israelites who were told to go into Canaan and the story of Rahab. And we're going to look at it at a different perspective and put ourselves in Rahab's shoes, okay? So number 3, the Israelites saw themselves with the eyes of fear and failure instead of the eyes of faith, okay? So how did they see themselves? Well, if you go to Numbers 13, verses 30 through 33, Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, and we are well able to conquer it. I'm reading in the Amplified. I really want to get this picture to you. Verse 31, but his fellow scouts said, we are not able to go up against the people of Canaan, for they are stronger than we. Okay, now let's put your finger there, and we're going to hop over to verses 1 and 2 in Numbers 13. And the Lord said to Moses, send men to explore and scout out for yourselves the land of Canaan, which I give to the Israelites. He didn't say, I'm going to. It was given to them right then when he said it. It was theirs, title deed, ownership. And he said, from each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man and everyone a leader or head among them. They should have gone in like, oh, what parcel do I want for my family? Well, you could take the small one. I'm taking the big one. Look at the big cluster of grapes. They're so huge. Wow, I want the grape area. Have you had Israeli grapes? When you go to Israel, the grapes are this big. They're so juicy. They're so sweet. They eat the whole thing with the seed. I'm spitting out the seeds and my Israeli friends are going, you North Americans are weird. Why are you spitting out the seeds? I said, because that's what we do. We don't eat seeds. They said, well, there's nutrition in those seeds and we eat the whole thing. God made it, we eat it. And then do you know that there's some homeopathic doctors? They made antibacterials out of grape seed extract that were healing people. Interesting. So I want the grape part, you know? So they didn't do that. This is what they did. Let's go to verse 32, back in Numbers 13. Let's scoot back down. So they brought the Israelites an evil report. Anything that is evil is what is opposite of God's word. The doctor said that there's cancer. Oh, I feel so sick. That's an evil report. But it's also sin if the person believed it. Because God said we've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. So let's keep going. The evil report of the land which they had scouted out. Remember, they scouted out not in faith. They scouted in fear and failure because they heard there were giants in the land. So they went in scared instead of the owners, okay? You ever seen the landlord come in going, knock, knock, can I come in the house to see how it's like? No. They're like, I'm coming over at 3 o'clock, whether or not you're home, because I have to inspect this and that. And they burst in the door and they're walking through because they own the place, right? That's the way they were supposed to go in. Look at what happened. The land through which we went to spy it out as a land that devours its inhabitants. We're still in verse 32. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the Nephilim. This is one of the few places you'll see Nephilim or giants and the sons of Anak who come from the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. So we were in their sight. What was their perception? They didn't even talk to any of them. How did they know those giants saw them as grasshoppers? They perceived with the wrong eyes. They were looking with their physical eyes. But there were two spies that didn't see what those guys saw. They went and looked at the same land. Let's go back to number four, E4. Rahab used her eyes of faith to see her eternal future and became one of the grandmothers of Jesus. Rahab, a Canaanite, she wasn't even Israelite, is a heroine of faith, which is a concept that we Gentiles can worship a Jewish God. Amen. She married Salmon, not Salmon, Salmon, an Israelite from the tribe of Judah. Her son was Boaz, the husband of Ruth. Joseph is a descendant of David, the legal father of Jesus. Now, she put the scarlet cord, which symbolizes the protection of the blood of Jesus over Rahab, in her window. And we're going to now read through Joshua 2, 9 through 21. Okay? So let's go to Joshua 2, Amplified. Verse 11. Rahab said, "For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. This is the change of heart, this faith coupled with the actions prompted by faith that saved her family." Okay? It's often said that Rahab, while being a true historical person, was a type and shadow of the church and the Gentiles. But she converted to believing the true God, as we're going to see it here. Let's go to verse 9 in Joshua 2. "And she said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land and that your terror is fallen upon us and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you." Did she say, we saw you as grasshoppers because we're giants? Terror! This big, huge citadel. Did you know that Jericho, the walls were as thick as 4 freeway lanes? Thick. And they used to have chariot races on the top of that wall. They weren't afraid of anybody because that was an impenetrable fortress. But they were in terror of the God of the Israelites. Wow. Different perception, right? Verse 10, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea. Here's red again. For when you came out of Egypt and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the east side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, and whom you what? Utterly destroyed. Verse 11, when we heard it, our hearts melted. Neither did spirit or courage remain anymore in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven and above and on earth beneath. Rahab believed in him, a God she didn't see, but she saw the results. And she preferred to believe in him than her own people. That's huge. They could have killed her because that was a pagan society. Verse 12, now then I pray you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, because she hid the spies. The men knew that there was infiltrators and Jericho army were looking for the two Israeli spies, and she hid them. I mean, she risked her life. That's how much she believed in their God, okay? So she says, so I pray you swear to me by the Lord, since I've shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house and give me a sure sign. Verse 13, and save alive my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all they have, and deliver us from death. Verse 14, and the men said to her, our lives for yours. If you do not tell this business of ours, then when the Lord gives us the land, we will deal kindly and faithfully with you. Verse 15. Then she let them down by a rope through the window, and for her house was built into the town wall, so that she dwelt in a wall. And she said to them, get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide yourselves for 3 days until the pursuers have returned, and afterward you may go your way. The men said to her, we will be blameless of this oath you have made us swear. The responsibility, in other words, is now hers. Verse 18, behold, when we come into the land, you shall bind the scarlet cord in your window through which you let us down, and you shall bring your father and mother, your brothers, and all of your father's household into your house. And if anyone goes out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And if a hand is laid upon anyone who is with you in the house, his blood will be on our head. But if you tell this business of ours, we shall be guiltless of your oath, which you made us swear. And she said, according to your word, so it is. So she sent them away and they departed, and she bound the scarlet cord in the window. Represented the blood of Jesus, like the blood of the Passover lamb on the doorpost in Egypt, that when the spirit of death went through Egypt, it did not touch any of the Israelites that had the lamb's blood protecting them. The blood of the lamb protects you. That scarlet cord is the blood that was shed for each one of us. Have faith in his word. She believed them. They could have left and slaughtered her. She could have said, oh, I'm not letting these guys go. I'm going to call the army so that they could kill them, because what if they come back and kill me and my household? She believed them. She had faith in their God. She had faith in them as honoring them as righteous men of God, that they would honor their word to her. We know that God's word in his Bible, he honors. Amen? Amen. We trust and rely and lean on it. We don't have to worry. He's not going to falter. He's not going to forsake us. He never leaves us. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? Amen. She used her eyes of faith to visualize this God in her life, and she accepted him before those spies came. She believed when she never laid eyes on that God. She didn't see the tent of meeting. She didn't see the pillar of the cloud that was leading them. She didn't see the fire by night that was keeping them warm in the desert. She didn't see the manna coming down to feed the Israelites. She didn't see the parting of the Red Sea. She didn't see any of that. But by faith, she believed in the unseen. So her eyes of faith were seeing beyond the natural. It didn't matter if these guys were shorter than the Nephilim in her city. She knew their God was greater. Your God is greater than anything that you face in your life. Amen?
Amen.
So now let's see who else used visualization. Number five, under E, letter E5, Laura Wilkinson, an Olympian high diver, changed her future by visualizing that she could get a gold medal, although it seemed impossible to her physical eyes. Laura focused her eyes of faith on the Word of God, which was firmly rooted in her heart and came out of her mouth to publicly affirm. She did affirmations every day. She said, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me before every single dive. Now, her story, I know Pastor Joshua has mentioned her many times, but I really researched the details because it intrigued me that this woman accomplished something that was impossible. See, in this time, this was a Summer Olympics of 2000, her foot was not fully recovered and she was still in a lot of pain. And she was eighth place after the first of five dives. She was not the favorite. It didn't matter, even though that her dives weren't adding up to the other people. See, she had a dream, and they told her that she might not be able to dive and be in the Olympics and participate, but since she was little, she always saw herself getting a gold medal. She always said the scripture, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so, she fractured three metatarsal bones that required surgery. She had a knock at the door after it happened, and they said that her foot had to be amputated. And she said, no, it's not. Her eyes could see herself healed. She had the pain, okay? And she could still see herself winning a gold. You can't dive without a foot, okay? Can't do it. And so, she had them put a cast on it, and the bones were allowed to fuse and heal as they were because she didn't have time to do surgery. So she was walking on a lump of bones with a cast on, with excruciating pain. Then she was told she had to climb up 40 stairs in that excruciating pain to a high dive, and going up way high, then she had to have a perfect dive. Well, she wasn't allowed to get in the water because her foot had to at least get to a point where the bones could fuse together and heal so she could at least get a cast on it because she was bedridden. And so in her mind, she visualized herself doing the perfect dive every day. Pew, pew, pew. Every day, in her mind, every day. She could not get in the water. And she says, okay, I'm going to go do it. And she took off her cast when she got up at the top, and she had seen herself doing it in her mind. And she said again, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Perfect dive, gold medal, woo! You are a gold medalist in the making.
Amen. Amen.
You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I don't care what the devil's throwing at you. You are going to take that bat like a baseball with your faith, that when the devil's throwing you a fastball and wants to pummel your shield of faith, you are going to hit that thing out of the park, and those demons are going to keep running out there to try to catch it. While you are walking up home base, you're going to be running your race. When you tell the devil, see that seed of faith? I have the eyes to see that I have victory. I have the eyes to see myself healed. I have the eyes to see myself prosperous. I have the eyes to see with my eyes of faith success in every area of my life. Devil, look at the mustard seed. You have that faith. You tell those mountains of problems to go in the name of Jesus. You see yourself wearing that gold at the end of your race, the crown. at the end of your race. So I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to see yourself completely healed, energetic, prosperous, successful in doing what God wants you to do for the kingdom. And if you don't know what that is, just see yourself telling others about Jesus, bringing light to their darkened eyes. I want you to see yourself as God already sees you, a gold medal winner. He has it for you. It's waiting for you because he sees you as such. Amen? Hallelujah.